ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's going to come back with Homelander eyes now that she got that LASIK vision surgery. She's up, though, in Indianapolis recuperating from that. I am Paul Gallant. Happy Friday, Vegetarians. It is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We have Sean Mapes behind the glass. Do I have to read the copy this way? Do I have to read the first sentence, Sean? Do I have to read it as written? Because listen, I'm excited about this, but good God, there are a few things that anyone in Houston should hate more than the sentence that I might have to read. Should I read it?
Oh, well, now you have to read it so the audience can decide if they're on your side or not.
Houston, we have playoffs. Sort of like Houston, we have, you know, a problem, which I feel Don't make that noise when you hear that. I've only lived here a decade. Whenever I hear that, I get pissed. I really do. Oh, Houston, we have a problem. Shut up.
Houston, we have a problem. The Astros are in the midst of a two-game losing streak. The Rockets just lost. The Texans are the Texans.
Shut your whore mouth.
Yeah,
Every time.
People died during that.
Yeah. I bet they were saying that too in Independence Day when President Bill Pullman called for Houston to be nuked.
Houston, I guess we have a problem. I'm making dark jokes because the world is ending. It's me, Bill Pullman, the president.
Anyway, guess what? Houston, we have the playoffs! Because the Houston Sabercats are the top seed in Major League Rugby's Western Conference, which is awesome. Because I was a part of, you know, the building blocks of that, you know, the time I tried out for the Houston Sabercats. I'm just kidding. They gave me a jersey called Waterboy. That's how unseriously they took me. I had no idea what I was doing. But they're going to host the conference finals on Saturday, June 18th at 6 o'clock. You can join the Houston Sabercats at Aviva Stadium this Saturday. They're going to take on the Seattle Seawolves. Oh, my God. It's a battle for my affection for a chance to go to the Major League Rugby Championship. But unlike, you know, my little Astros, Mariners, you know, open relationship. No, I've never been a Seawolves fan. I am a Sabercat till I die. They've qualified for the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. So caller number 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You are going to go and watch the Sabercats take the Seawolves down. And by the way, you can get tickets now at HoustonSabercats.com. Starting at only $15, we will see you Saturday at 6 o'clock as the Sabercats make their postseason debut. HoustonSabercats.com. Show us your big cat energy. How about that? Andres Galarraga? Hell yeah. All right, let's play a little highlight.
Ridiculous. Range unlimited. Mama, there goes that man, and then says, put a ring on it. And the previous play, moving without the rock. Draymond Green does his job, setting the screen. You have to have help. And like I said, looking for the ring. Number 4, that is.
See, he was pointing on his ring finger. The only thing that could have made listening to extended Mark Jackson worse would be if Mark Jackson also said, Mama, there goes that man. Houston, we have a problem. Like, the only thing that could have made that worse. I cannot stand Mark Jackson. I do. If I'm going to take joy in anything, as my beloved Celtics lost in the NBA Finals in 6 games to Golden State last night, the one thing that I can take a quantum of solace out of, I think I used that right, using a James Bond movie line, is that Mark Jackson had to sit there and watch all of that. He had to sit in it. He had to bathe in that. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mark, remember when you couldn't coach that team? Anyway, look, I have a question. Do you hate the Warriors again? Because let's admit it, with the Warriors being what? Like one of the worst teams in basketball 2 years ago, barely missing the bubble playoffs, what was it, last year? They missed the playing games. They were like the last team out. That they're back and came back this year in the way that they did. I do think that for a time, it was cool to like the Warriors again. Probably not here, understandably so, given all the Warriors-Rockets series over the 2010s. But I'm wondering if people are back to hating them again. I'll be honest, I thought I would be after this series. I'm not. They just took down my favorite team in six games. And while I got annoyed with some of Draymond Green's antics along the way, while I got annoyed with Klay Thompson being really soft and saying, oh, this is really classy, Boston. Steve Kerr doing the same thing. I still love Steph Curry. I still think he's an incredible shooter. He's phenomenal to watch. So skilled offensively, both as a handler of the ball, as a guy driving through the lane and finishing. And I also even found myself liking Draymond Green, even after this quote, where you could definitely say, yeah, Draymond Green's back to being insufferable Draymond Green, even though he does not have the skills that he used to have.
It means a lot. This fan base gave me a hard time, really hard time. And to come here and get a win is awesome. I appreciate this fan base. They brought incredible energy. Got to give kudos to them. But we did what we do. Welcome back to the Warriors Invitational, baby. It's what we do.
I mean, how could you not hate him after that, especially seeing as he just beat my favorite team? But you know what? He brown-nosed me as a fan for just a brief moment of time, and you know, I'm back to liking Draymond Green again, even though he's definitely not the same player that he used to be. But he's saying it's the Warriors Invitational. I mean, this is just so cocky Golden State. I should hate this. So do you hate it again? I should hate that. I don't. What's wrong with me? I should be mad. I should be bitter this morning, but I'm more just like annoyed that Jason Tatum was texting Kobe Bryant. Hey, Jason, are you going to text Kobe Bryant an apology and then share it with the entire world like you did when you said, like, I got this, Kobe, like sending the text out? Good God. How about, like, not be afraid of contact when you're, what, 6'8"? Why are you afraid of contact? Why are you trying to do all these turnaround jumpers? You're not Kobe. Stop trying to be Kobe. You'll never be Kobe. Anyway, the Warriors, are they unlikable again? Here's Klay Thompson randomly taking stray shots at, what, Jaren Jackson of the Memphis Grizzlies? Who cares, Jaren Jackson? Jaren Jackson, I guess, tweeted out, like, group energy after, what, Memphis had a win against Golden State during the, what was it, the second round of the playoffs? Was it the first round of the playoffs? It was a million years ago.
This was after, like, a March game.
Wait a second. This was after a March game? I figured this was after the Grizzlies and Warriors series.
No, Jaren Jackson tweeted strength in numbers, which is an old, I think, like the original 2015 like motto for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh my God.
And he tweeted out in like March 15th or whatever.
Let's hear Klay Thompson.
I can't wait. There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Just taking shots at random Memphis Grizzlies for something that was tweeted in March. Honestly, again, I love the pettiness. I should hate Golden State today. I don't. I'm kind of happy for him. Boston played like such crap in those last couple of games. Like, I'm more disgusted with the Celtics. And I am wearing right now a Lucky Charm shirt. Because if you lose and you're a fan of a team that loses in a championship situation or something like that, you do have to sit in it the next day. You have to eat it. You have to eat the L. But you have to also wear something that signifies that you were a part of it. So and that's why I'm wearing this today. I was like, okay, well, I have to wear it. The season is over. It was a fun year, but honestly, the last two games have just completely ruined the whole thing for me because of how bad they play. It'd be one thing if they lost and Golden State was just better than them. But the way that they lost where they're just like, oh, I can't dribble. Oh, I'm dribbling the ball off my foot. Oh, I can't catch a pass. Oh, I can't hit a shot. Oh, I can't get a rebound, hit a free throw, etc. Like, just a long list of things that they couldn't do. Like, I'm disgusted with them. I'm happy for Golden State. But do you hate Golden State again? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Sean Mapes, I know that you have always disliked Golden State. Do you dislike Golden State with a fire that is at the same level as before? More than before? Less than before? Where are you at?
It's definitely diminished from before, from peak 2016-2018 range of absolutely detest them. Because they beat the Rockets every year.
Okay, and since they didn't beat the Rockets this year, is it a little bit easier to stand?
It's easier to stand because they beat Dallas and they beat Boston.
You know what? That's a good point.
enemy of my enemy.
Yeah.
It was the one time I got to, like, guilt-free be like, hell yeah, take that, Marcus Smart. Yeah, three in your eye. Yeah, ring me.
The Celtics really do have a lot of unlikable players. I do want to give a shout-out to Rob Williams. Rob Williams, if that guy has, like, a knee that's not working right now, my God, that guy has so much heart. So any Texas A&M Aggie out there, like, you win the honorary, hey, this guy was really awesome and deserves a lot of credit trophy. And you can put that up next to your national title from 1931. That was an incredible performance by Robert Williams. Really, like, that guy's got balls. And I like Al Horford a lot too, but the rest of that Celtics team, so unlikable. Marcus Smart.
Jaylen Brown is likable.
That's a good one.
As well.
That's a
but
good
then,
one.
Yeah, Marcus Smart, Derek White. Derek White's hard to like just because what is there to like?
I mean, Derek White, it's kind of funny because he looks nothing against Derek White, who has had some good playoff moments, but it always looks like he's about to pee his pants out there.
Yeah.
Like, he looks just completely scared of the moment. But Jason Tatum did too. Smart, totally insufferable. Grant Williams, really insufferable. And here's the worst part. I don't know if anyone noticed this at the very end of the broadcast, but Draymond Green, who is like arguably the most annoying player in NBA history, goes up to Grant Williams, who is like the guy who, when he gets mic'd up, who really wants everyone to hear all the things that he's saying on the sideline. He goes up to Grant. And he's like, man, you played your heart out. And you'll be back. You'll be back. Don't tell him that.
Squirt water on his nose.
Yes, yeah.
Get him to stop.
I kind of wanted Draymond to slap Grant Williams, you know? Like, just like, hey, just stop what you're doing. Because now Grant Williams is, like, going to feel enabled by Draymond Green, who's probably his role model. Anyway.
Also, the Celtics had Peyton Pritchard. Best-selling jersey on the team.
Peyton Pritchard looks like everyone in Southie. Like, the only thing that was missing, it would have been really funny to see this, like, some random, like, white guy go onto the court, like, wearing, like, a Scally cap. And one of those Scally caps that has random pins on it, because that's what people in Boston do. Scally caps are those like newsboy looking hats and stuff that you see Bruce Arians wear a bunch. So imagine someone's wearing one of those hats and it has like a bunch of pins in it. Like, yeah, this is for the Irish Rovers, dude. Yeah, you don't understand what it's like to be in Southie. Oh, what? Like a place where all of a sudden the median household like costs like $400,000-$500,000. Yeah, you just don't get it, dude. Whitey Bulger used to live here. Like that, Peyton Pritchard looks like someone from Southie. Anyway, yes, I'm a little bit bitter about it, but whatever. Steph Curry's awesome, guys. Steph Curry is incredible. Where does he rank among athletes that you have seen the entire career of? I have a top 10 list. People are annoyed with it. I will express my reasons next, right here. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I didn't pronounce that correctly. It's Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Inbound to Boston, final seconds tick off. The Golden State Warriors back on top of the NBA once more. Four championships in 8 years. They win three straight to close out the Celtics in six games. The Warriors are the 2022 NBA champs. They beat Boston 103-90 in game six.
Champs, baby! What are they going to say now? What are they going to say now?
Well, I'm hoping that Skip Bayless today will say that Steph Curry is better than LeBron. Honestly, that's all I want. Have we had that, Sean Mapes?
No, Skip Bayless is pulling the ultimate, you think you have him, zigs,
no,
he zags.
No,
wait, hold on,
no.
Let me pull up his tweet.
This would have been the only thing that would make me happy today, on the day that one of my favorite two sports teams lost. The only thing that could have made me happy would have been a hot take from Skip Bayless dumping on LeBron. That's the only thing. So he let me down? I thought for sure that we would have this morning Skip Bayless waking up, stretching out, drinking his cup of coffee as he gets ready for Undisputed with a big smug grin on his face so he could say, Steph Curry finally has LeBron James. He's finally surpassed him. That's all I wanted. And he didn't even do it?
By the way, he tweets so much. I have to
he's really
so
scrolling
far.
Through it. Well, I mean, I don't think the guy has much of a life outside of just tweeting.
This was Thursday before the game. This
yeah.
is yesterday before game. If the Warriors win this title, should we discount it because the Celtics don't have a LeBron now on Undisputed?
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's actually a great Zach.
Hold on, there's another one.
Oh, my God. That is so... You know what? Good for him. Look, this is why he gets paid the big bucks.
Steph needed KD to lift him past LeBron. Now the Celtics literally handed him these two trophies.
Yes.
Well, Steph finally won his first Finals MVP against the Boston frauds.
I mean, he's not wrong on that one, though. Like, the Boston was terrible in the last couple of games of this series with all the turnovers that they were doing. Text in 713-780-3776 from the 409. Does this man ever have anything positive to say? Get him off the air. Yes, I do. Steph Curry is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life, from the beginning of his career to where he is at now. And I've seen the entirety of his career. I'm younger. I'm 33 years old. So there are some athletes that I have not been able to watch all the career of. So I put together last night an impromptu list of players who are like the best that I remember the entire careers of. And one of these is probably a bit of a stretch, but baseball was very hard for me to pick one because I can't really think of a baseball that's truly been as iconic as this guy, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was on that list. I have not seen all of Barry Bonds' career, but there are some people that are expressing like, whoa, hey, why don't you have Michael Jordan on the list? Well, read it. I'm 33 years old. I didn't start watching basketball until 1997. Larry and Stafford has this like pandering response saying like, oh, why don't you have Hakeem Olajuwon on it? Because I remember Hakeem Olajuwon playing for the Toronto Raptors. Like, not very well, but I mean, I was not watching basketball in 1994 and 1995. The only time I was watching TV was to watch PBS back then. Okay? And yeah, Hakeem had two good seasons when I started watching basketball, 97 and 98. But 99, 2000, 2001, like, I didn't... Those are the last 3 years I remember of him. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, I wasn't alive when he was at UH in 1984. I wasn't alive. So, again, this is my list. Let's just play within the boundaries of how I put it together, which is careers that I have seen, for the most part, from start to finish. Not every single game. I'm not acting like I'm Skip Bayless, where I watched every single game that all these guys played. Okay? Not saying that. But here's the list, and I put together. And I put some thought into it, okay? Number 10, Aaron Donald. I wish I could have put J.J. Watt here, and I thought about putting Justin Verlander here as well. But Verlander had a stretch before he got traded to the Astros where he was, like, kind of mediocre with Detroit for a bit. And J.J. Watt, of course, with all the injuries, couldn't be this guy anymore. But Aaron Donald, now that he's won a Super Bowl too, with all the Defensive Player of the Year awards that he has won, with how young he is too, what is he, 32 years old at this point in time? I expect Aaron Donald to continue to be playing at the level that he's playing at right now. Number 9, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was the consensus best defensive player in the NFL for a very long period of time. He won a Super Bowl in his last year. He won a Super Bowl with that Ravens defense early on. Baltimore never had a good offense for a 15 to 20 year stretch. They really never did. They had a couple of good games from Joe Flacco, but they never had a good offense. And Ray Lewis was able to carry that Ravens team into being like a consistent, like pain in the ass at the very least, through all that time. I know there was that thing. I know. Maybe I should have Floyd Mayweather on this list. But guess what? I don't really watch boxing. Who should have a soccer player on this list? I don't really watch soccer, okay? It's mostly football players and basketball players. It's my list. Number 8, Kevin Durant. Durant would be higher up had he been able to win a title with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He would be higher on the list had he somehow found a way to win a title with the Brooklyn Nets. The problem is that he won the two titles with the Golden State Warriors, and while he's definitely one of the best players that I've ever seen play basketball, and I would say, like, from a just strictly skills perspective, I would take Durant over Steph Curry. If I were having an impromptu draft for one game, I would take him. But I have Durant lower on the list. Number 7, Peyton Manning. A lot of playoff duds early in his career, but made it to 4 Super Bowls, won 2 Super Bowls. I know the last Super Bowl that he won wasn't a very good one, but the year before that, he set like all of these records that Tom Brady had set not too long before. And those records, I think some of them still stand. The touchdown pass record, I believe, is still up there. I don't think Mahomes quite beat it. Number 6, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, the reason that he's not up at the very top of this, I know a lot of Lakers fans would be pissed off about it, is because those first 3 titles that he won were with Shaquille O'Neal. And then there was a long stretch where the Lakers weren't very good. They get Paul Gasol. Things change a little bit, and he deserves most of the credit for those two titles that they were able to win in the late 2000s. Tim Duncan, I have at number five. I mean, the Spurs were just like the gold standard of basketball for, what, 20 years, and he's the face of that franchise. But I had him at five underneath Barry Bonds, who I have at number four. Barry Bonds is the most dominant baseball player I've ever seen. I don't care if he did steroids. Someone was texting it. Well, he couldn't even throw a guy out at home plate. I don't care. Who cares about defense? It's baseball, okay? Who cares? Who cares? The guy hit like 70 home runs in a season. Ooh, he was on steroids. I know. His head was the size of a watermelon. It's fine. The guy's an incredible hitter. The scariest hitter I've ever seen. And even though he doesn't have a World Series to show for it, I think he's had one of the best careers that I have ever seen for the most part, the entirety of. And I guess maybe I should say steroid Barry Bonds. Because that's the only career I remember is steroid Barry Bonds. I did not see like Pirates Barry Bonds ever. I did not.
And to be fair, steroids Barry Bonds was so preposterously good that I think it almost gives him credit.
Yeah.
Like he was like a video game player in real life.
He is the most terrifying player that I've ever seen in any sport ever. They were walking the bases loaded when he was at the plate. Because they were like, better this than a grand slam. And I don't even blame them for it, and no one does.
Like, to be fair, Joe Maddon did that to Corey Seager.
Well, Corey Seager, Barry Bonds, same player.
Yeah, okay? and Joe Maddon got fired like 2 weeks ago.
Well, if he had put that mohawk on earlier, man, it would have all changed. Number three, I have Steph Curry at number three. Curry's now got four titles. He's got two MVPs, one of them unanimous. I think he's the only player in NBA history to get the unanimous MVP. He is a finals MVP. Really incredible career. Number two, LeBron James. I mean, come on. He was in the title, it seemed like, every single year. He went from Cleveland, where he was single-handedly dragging that team to the finals early on in his career, to Miami. I know, not a great look the way that he did it, but he was clearly the leader of that team with Dwayne Wade. Then he goes to Cleveland again. I know it hasn't really worked out so well with the Los Angeles Lakers, but LeBron, you got to put him up there, even if you're not a fan of him. And number one, obviously, Tom Brady. He's been to 10 Super Bowls. He's won 7. He has set just about every single passing record that there is. He is the consummate winner. So there you go. And if you want to react to that list, there you go again. 10, Aaron Donald. 9, Ray Lewis. 8, Kevin Durant. 7, Peyton Manning. 6, Kobe Bryant. 5, Tim Duncan. 4, Barry Bonds. 3, Steph Curry. 2, LeBron. 1, Tom Brady. You can. 713-780-3776. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network, the PIN Process. Tomorrow, guys, if you want to go on a bus tour and see what the PIN Process is all about, how you can invest in real estate and make some real wealth for you and your family in the future, you want to go tomorrow. So go to passiveinvestor.net and enter promo code ESPN. Again, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN. And look, you're going to meet with the Passive Investor Network people, and they are going to tell you with a personalized 5-year plan for you how you, even if you don't think that you can at this point in time, can find a way to invest and to make real money down the road. And what the Passive Investor Network does, and they'll show you on the bus tours, they scout the city of Houston with guys like Ronnie, who essentially is like the Kurt Russell of, you know, finding these new homes and building these new homes and renovating these new homes. They will look across the city of Houston. They look for what's going to be the next up-and-coming neighborhood, and they are going to help you invest in those places as they turn them around. And you'll see the before and after process. It's really impressive what they're able to do with some of these homes. PassiveInvestor.net. Again, it's the Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net. Promo code ESPN for tomorrow's bus tour to see what it's all about. Passive Investor Network. PassiveInvestor.net. And again, it's promo code ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776 is Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa today. 713-780-ESPN. If you have a reaction to the list that I put together, the best sports careers I can remember all of. 10, Aaron Donald. 9, Ray Lewis. 8, Kevin Durant. 7, Peyton Manning. 6, Kobe Bryant. 5, Tim Duncan. 4, Barry Bonds. 3, Steph Curry. 2, LeBron James. 1, Tom Brady. Pinche Pancho Villa on the Twitch says, it's Paulie's personal list. Our opinion doesn't matter. You are correct, Pinche. However, you can still respond, and you can talk about what you think. Just like John in Beaumont calling in at 713-780-3776. John, what's up? John?
John drop.
Big John. Well, here's what John was going to say, because I saw it on the call screener. John said Tiger Woods, which is a pretty bad omission. So here's my spin zone on that one. Golf, not a real sport. Boom. 713-780-3776. Is golf a real sport? 713-780-3776. Yeah, Tiger Woods should be on that list. No doubt about it. And honestly, I guess if I'm going to replace anyone on that list, I would put Woods in at probably... I guess I'd have to put Woods in at 2, right?
Yeah, he would be in the Steph Barry Bonds range.
Yeah.
Because what Tiger was to golf, what is kind of what... Like, where he's breaking the game, like Steph and Barry Bonds.
The thing... Here's the thing with Woods. And again, this is not me. This is not me. That's a bad omission by me. Again, I thought this up last night after the game was done. I may have had a couple of drinks because your boy was sad about his Celtics losing. But with Tiger Woods, like, what if you actually are your entire sports history? And I get it. There's the Golden Bear. There's Jack Nicklaus. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Golf was not anywhere close to as big of a deal then as it is now, right? With Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods was in his prime, were people tuning in to watch golf to watch Jack Nicklaus the same way that they were doing it for Tiger Woods? And that is a serious question. I honestly do not know the answer to that. But I don't think that the Golden Bear was as big of a draw as Tiger Woods. I just don't. Could be wrong. I've never seen any of Jack Nicklaus. 713-780-3776. We've got Cruz. Cruz calling in. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today, man?
Doing well, bro.
I was just calling in to add as far as Tractor's representative. I want to add Usain Bolt to the list.
Usain Bolt. Ooh, that's a good one. Usain Bolt, Cruz is bringing up. Also, you know, if we're talking about other sports that I just don't watch a whole lot of, we would probably put in Serena Williams, which someone brought up. Again, I don't really watch a lot of tennis. Largo's correctly bringing up Barry Bonds was a rookie in 1987. How'd you see his whole career? I should have written in steroids Barry Bonds. I really should have. Because steroids Barry Bonds is the scariest athlete of all time. Sort of like Darth Vader post Anakin Skywalker, you know, like Anakin Skywalker with a back to tank turning into Darth Vader, like great, one of the greatest Jedi ever. Yeah, definitely. Anyway, Cruz, I know that's a bit of a tangent, but you would put Usain Bolt up there if we're really going to go to the Olympic sports. I think you got to put Michael Phelps above, right? Like Michael Phelps, like the most, what, gold medals ever? So I don't know. If I have to pick one Olympic athlete, I think I would say Phelps. Because with Bolt, it's what, just the 100? Or are there other things that Usain Bolt ran? Obviously, he was like the fastest one in the 100 for the longest time, and I'm sure that he still probably would smoke most of the people that are out there. But that's a good one. That's a good one to add. What else do we have here? Margo, it's a good point. I was trying to force in a baseball guy on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I really couldn't think of one. Like, I looked. And again, I have a vendetta against Mike Trout. I'm totally fine admitting it. Okay, I'm annoyed by how many people like Mike Trout, so I can't say Mike Trout. I know he's great. He's had an awesome career. He's a great player. I'm not besmirching it. I'm just like, hey, can he play on a team that doesn't suck?
If you're still in Seattle, would you have slipped in Ichiro at 10?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't have. No. No.
I'm trying to think of A-Rod.
No. No, because
he doesn't quite get there.
I was never scared of A-Rod, and this is coming as a Red Sox fan. I disliked him strongly, and I like him a lot now, a lot more now as a broadcaster. But A-Rod never really scared me.
Pedro's
career didn't last that long,
yeah,
though.
If you could just do like 98 to 01 Pedro, or whatever the years are. Yeah.
Someone brought up Roger Clemens again. I didn't see 80s Roger Clemens. I only saw. You know, the first time I remember watching Roger Clemens was with the Red Sox in 1996 as a kid. And I remember people were like, oh, is Roger Clemens still the same guy? And then he went to the Blue Jays. And then, I mean, I guess, you know what? If you're going to say steroids, Barry Bonds, steroids, Roger Clemens, 1997 on with, of course, the Blue Jays and the Yankees and then the Astros afterwards. Houston athletes that could have made the list. And I'll say it again with Hakeem Olajuwon. I was not able to watch the majority of his career. I just wasn't. And I'll say the same thing with Michael Jordan too. other guys that I remember that like could come close. Verlander was someone I thought of long and hard, but there's a stretch in Verlander's career, kind of like with Pedro at the end of his career. With Verlander, before he came to Houston, there was like a 4 or 5 year stretch. You take a look at his numbers, they weren't very good, at least compared to where you see them right now this year. You know, they were crazy. 713-780-3776. I don't think there's any arguments about Brady at the top of this list, right? As far as like most successful careers we've ever seen. Maybe you could have made that argument had like Brady not won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay or something like that. What else do we have here? Let's see the text line. 713-780-ESPN. Nadal and Federer, great 1-2 rivalry. It's true. Again, your boy doesn't watch tennis. I don't know who I'm supposed to pick as the best tennis player of all time. Nadal's the clay guy, right? Djokovic is the vax guy. And Federer, I don't know, what is he, Swiss? Swiss are a little arrogant, so I don't know. I can't put him on that list.
What hurts is that all four of them, or all three of them, are like at the same time.
Yeah.
It would really help if there's one that was clearly better than the rest.
Right, right. I think if you have to pick a tennis guy on that list, it probably would be Federer, but you're right. It all does kind of blend together to me. And guess what? You know,
you could do Nadal on clay.
Ooh, Nadal on clay, yeah.
That'd be like number two.
But that's not your whole career. That's just the clay courts.
True.
Again, I don't know anything about tennis. I'm just going to admit it, okay? If I were to put one of those guys up there, that's why it's like all a football, basketball list. Well, Polo, are those the only sports you watch? Those are the only sports that I enjoy watching. Like baseball until the playoffs, like it's a tough one for me. And people get mad at me like when I actually watch the games and I react to them as if they are like the biggest game in the world. Well, what do you want from me? Do you want me to be passionate about it?
Paul, it's June, all right?
I know.
Relax.
Oh, wow. We got a lot of... Nadal does have the most Grand Slam titles. That is true, I guess. You could have said Federer and been like, what? Sure. Andre Agassi versus Pete Sampras. Pete Sampras, I feel like, won that because he married Veronica Vaughn. Did you know that? The actress who plays Veronica Vaughn, I believe her name is Bridget Wilson, is Pete Sampras' wife.
I don't know who Veronica Vaughn is.
What? Have you not seen Billy Madison?
Yes.
Billy Madison is the teacher in that that Billy falls
Madison's
in love with.
Adam Sandler, but she plays the teacher?
She plays the teacher. That Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ace. Veronica Vaughn, baby. Honestly, maybe, you know, Pete Sampras, greatest golfer of all time, because
he won played tennis.
Where it really mattered. Excuse me. Did I say golfer? I did. Good God. What else do we have here? It is a Friday, after all. Ralph, so people are just texting in like the best steroid users. Ken Caminiti, RIP. Rafael Palmeiro. Kristen Umble says the Kardashians should be on this list. You know, reality TV is a lot like a sport. Took down every athlete they dated. You know what? Damn, I didn't think about that.
Pelts on the wall.
Girl power, you know? It is impressive. Hey, we're going to shame we can't shame girls for, you know, having the time of their lives with as many people as possible if guys don't get shamed.
Pete Sampras.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I was very, very in that segment. I was very diminishing. What else do we have?
Oh, yeah, Diana Taurasi. Speaking of women's sports.
I'm more of a Sue Bird guy.
Okay.
You know, being as a guy who was in Seattle.
Lived in Seattle for 15 minutes.
I realize you may not watch the sports, but not including Tiger Woods and Serena Williams is kind of a slight, in my opinion. Some would argue it's a racist slight. Not me, though. That was literally just a slight. You had tennis and golf. You could say Djokovic, too. No, Djokovic, you got to have vaccinated people on this list. Steroids, fine. No vaccination, not fine. Okay.
That's why Kyrie just missed the cut.
It's it's my list, guys. Come on. Simone Biles, that is a good one as far as Olympians go. But she got the bends. Out.
Michael Phelps.
Married a Houston Texan. Out.
Not Michael Phelps.
Wait, yeah.
Simone Biles.
Ric Flair, greatest career ever. Yeah, that's true. All wrestlers, greatest career. That's not even the best wrestler of all time. Like, it has to be Hulk Hogan, right? I don't know anything about wrestling. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Good one. Lance Armstrong. Because we did include steroid people. I should have put Lance Armstrong in there. And just think about all the careers that Lance Armstrong stopped forever. too, along the way, by throwing people under the bus or bike. Yeah. I like how this list turned sarcastic and ironic.
Yeah, and it
very
turned
quickly.
Into, like, the dirtiest.
It was serious at one point, okay? You guys. You rascals. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, I never thought I'd see Tom Hanks break bad. And yet, here we are. It has me wondering, based off of another clip that I also heard yesterday, who would win in an actual fist fight between the two biggest Toms of all time? And I'm not talking Tom Brady. That question answered next, along with Garbage Time.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report, presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
Stocks are poised to bounce a bit in what has been an extremely volatile week as the Federal Reserve raised interest rate by 0.75% on Wednesday, the biggest such rate increase since 1994. Mortgage rates have jumped, housing starts and other housing indicators have fallen, and we've seen extreme volatility in a wide variety of markets, from overseas equity markets to cryptocurrencies. This morning, Dow futures up about 200 points, S&P up about 30. The market's running the risk of being down 10 of the last 11 weeks, a stretch we've not seen in decades. Meanwhile, interest rates have stabilized after spiking earlier this week. Flight to quality into U.S. Treasuries puts the yield of the 10-year note at 3.22%. Dollar rebounding from some of yesterday's losses amid recession worries now that the Fed is getting more aggressive in fighting inflation. Oil down 39 cents but still elevated at $117 a barrel. Gold giving back a buck at $18.48 the ounce as we kick off the last day of this trading week after what's been a brutal five sessions so far.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You put effort into a list. Vanessa, hopefully back next week as she recovers from LASIK surgery. You put together a list. You assume people take it seriously, but I guess it's just the way that I do things. No one can take anything I do quite seriously. So this list is sort of devolved into, like, who is the best at taking steroids. Someone said, hey, no love for boxing. If you're going to put a boxer onto that list of guys who I can remember the entire career of, and honestly, I don't watch a lot of boxing, then you would put Floyd Mayweather on that list. You wouldn't put Manny Pacquiao on it. And I'm just not a big Floyd Mayweather guy. I get it. He is, like, the best technician in boxing history. I find his fighting boring. And I also think he's just an illiterate idiot who's also a terrible person. So, sorry. But Paul Ray Lewis made the list. Good point. Again, I'm thinking about things off the top of my head. This was just me sitting in front of my phone. I thought about it for 20 minutes.
Being like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah. I almost pandered. Someone texted in Randy Moss. No, you can't put Randy Moss on that list. No. Randy Moss had, like, the time with the Oakland Raiders happened. I love Randy Moss. One of my favorite football players ever. With the Vikings, obviously he played for the Patriots during that incredible season, but there are a bunch of years of Randy Moss's career where it was not good.
How about Gronk? Robert Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Probably can't put him over Aaron Donald.
Not quite. And the thing with him, too, the injuries are the thing that you kind of hold against him. Other guys, like, on that, there are a bunch of other football players that, like, maybe you could have put into that conversation. But I can only think of Peyton Manning along with Tom Brady. Like, it's hard to get up there. Aaron Donald has won a million Defensive Player of the Year awards, and he just won a Super Bowl. Ray Lewis won two Super Bowls. Probably would have won two Super Bowl MVPs had it not been problematic the first time around. Did he win the Super Bowl MVP the second time around? Or did Joe Flacco win it? Because that's generally how
Flacco
it works.
Flacco won it.
Flacco did have a really good playoffs those years.
He was insane.
That was the most ridiculous, like, random, like, oh, wow, Joe Flacco is amazing. And he gets paid $100 million. And Ravens fans are nervous all of a sudden, like, hey, oh, what happens if the Ravens, if they win a Super Bowl and they don't sign Lamar Jackson to a contract? Baltimore's a weird accent. I had it for a second.
I could tell.
Drifted away.
I could tell it was
drifted away very quickly.
Accent.
Yeah, it's Vince Wilfork. That's no, come on. That's a random.
Wes Welker.
No, now we're just throwing like random expatriates in there. No,
Richard Seymour.
No,
Ty Law.
No. I mean, if we're talking corners that I've seen the entire
Revis.
Career of. No, because here's the thing. Like, some of these guys, you saw the end, and it was bad. And like, Revis, I remember when Darrell Revis died. It was when DeAndre Hopkins went up against him in a Texans-Jets game, and Hopkins just slaughtered him. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, what the hell happened to Darrell Revis? It was 2 years ago that he was helping the Patriots win the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, what the hell happened to this guy? He's not the same player anymore. So for some of these guys, there was another name that was off the top of my head. Oh, here's another one. Terrell Owens, right? But Terrell Owens had some years, too, where it was like, what's going on here?
Although...
Owens, I think, is a much stronger case, though, than Randy Moss.
Even when he was, like with Buffalo at the end, he was catching, like, 1,000-yard years.
If the Eagles had won that Super Bowl against the Patriots, Super Bowl 39, where he played on the broken leg, I think you put T.O. on that list. Because I also think the rest of his career might have gone a little bit differently. Had he been the Super Bowl hero for the Philadelphia Eagles... I think that they would have sided with him during that little contract dispute that he had. But Terrell Owens was a lot more consistent than Randy Moss, even though he was probably just as much of a headache.
He was more like emotionally volatile, but on the field, he was much more consistent.
Texter says Mariano Rivera. That's actually a pretty good one for baseball. If we're talking about just like consistency and like really good for the entirety of their career. I would say much more so than Derek Jeter, the Derek Jeter captain thing. Oh, my God. I was never as scared of Derek Jeter, the Yankee, as I was scared of, like, Bernie Williams and all the other random, like, Paul O'Neill and all Scott Brosius, like, these other randos. Derek Jeter, I was like, all right, he's here. He's definitely good, but, like, calm down. New Yorkers always making themselves the center of the universe. Okay, it is garbage time, and I want to play two bits of audio, and you have to answer a question for me.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Okay, so how many people have ever seen Tom Hanks angry outside of in a movie when he's yelling at a volleyball? Well, Tom Hanks was walking with his wife, Rita Wilson, through, I want to say, a hotel lobby, Sean Mapes behind the glass, and I guess Rita Wilson tripped. And Tom Hanks went Super Saiyan and got very, very mad.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey,
whoa.
Stop it.
Whoa.
What are you doing?
Back the f*** off.
What are y'all doing?
What do you want? What do you want?
Knock it over my wife.
Yeah, they're bugging. Sorry to talk about that.
Really?
Bugging. These people are.
Come on, man.
Sorry about that, Tom.
I love how that one guy in the background said, they're bugging. What is this guy? Like us trying to be... Generation Z. I've never seen Tom Hanks get mad at somebody before.
Also, I like that. I mean, because they're all paparazzi. I like that there's one paparazzi throwing the other paparazzi under the bus. Like, yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
that guy's the scum of the earth.
Oh, he's
click,
terrible.
Click, click,
click, click, click, click, click, click. To get Tom Hanks angry. Oh yeah, those are gonna go for a ton of money. Because whenever the next Tom Hanks controversy arises, like, oh, Chet Hanks continues to be disappointing. Here's an angry picture of Tom Hanks. The only time I've ever seen Tom Hanks look remotely angry was, I want to say, either at like the Golden Globes where Ricky Gervais was speaking. Tom Hanks got really pissed at Ricky Gervais and like made some comments back at Ricky Gervais along the way. Like, it's the only time I've ever seen Tom Hanks remotely pissed. So Tom Hanks, of course, we know Tom Hanks is like sort of America's sweetheart. We also know about a man by the name of Tom, not Tom Brady, Tom Cruise. So I have yet to see the new Top Gun. I hear it's amazing. I will see it at some point. But anyway, Miles Teller was on, I believe, with Seth Meyers on a late-night TV show. And this is just a peak Tom Cruise story, even though it starts by being about Miles Teller, who got his blood tested and found some weird things in his blood.
I go to the doctor, and my blood work comes back, and I have flame-retardant pesticides and jet fuel in my blood.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I thought. But then I thought, wait a second, this is actually kind of cool. So then I go to set the next day, and Tom's like, so how did it go, Miles? What did they find? I was like, well, Tom, it turns out I have jet fuel in my blood. And without even skipping a beat, Tom just goes, yeah, I was born with a kid. And it was one of the, like,
your
yeah,
Top Gun.
Yeah.
That is the most Tom Cruise thing I've ever heard of. So now, really quickly, this is the question that I will leave you with. Who would win in a fight between Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise? Now, listen, Tom Hanks, taller. A lot of people believe that height is going to help out. Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess Tom Hanks is, what, like 6 feet tall? That's what it says online. And I'm also going to guess, having seen Tom Cruise in person, that Tom Cruise is 5'6", 5'7". I don't know. I mean, 5'7 is what it's listed on Wikipedia. I would guess a little shorter than that. He's
those,
a small guy.
Those are less reliable than NBA heights.
Who would win in a fight between Tom Cruise, who is 59 years old, and I did not know that he was from Syracuse, New York. That's where he was born. That is actually like a very big surprise as we look at this person's Wikipedia. Who would win in a fight between he and Tom Hanks, who is 6 feet tall and is 65 years old? Who would win? I feel like Tom Cruise would kick Tom Hanks' ass. Absolutely mollywop him.
See, I think I go with Cruise, but closer than the experts think. I think it maybe even goes to the cards.
Hanks is like the greatest. Check that. Cruise is like the greatest action star probably ever, which is weird to think, right? Considering that we've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger, we've seen Sylvester Stallone.
And he's 5'7", yeah.
Yeah, but okay, whenever you see him do something, does he not look convincing?
Well, because a lot of the stuff in like Mission Impossible stuff, he does that.
He does his own stunts. You've seen him run. You have seen him in fighting scenes.
Running and fighting or in flying planes is not like getting in the ropes with Tom Hanks, who on Father's Day weekend I'm giving them the nod because he has dad strength. I think if you get him up, what you do
clearly
is,
not enough dad what strength you do because is, of Chet Hanks.
What you do is you knock over Rita Wilson right before the fight, and
ooh,
then boom.
And unlock a new level.
Yeah,
of him.
He becomes the Hulk basically.
Cruz is gonna run at you with a flying knee. You're done. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. Hopefully we'll have Vanessa back next week if she recovers from LASIK surgery. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are next. Have a wonderful weekend.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.